That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this morning from a cold and blustery radio ranch this December 31st, 2022, the last day of the calendar year of 22. But we're glad to be here, and we've got a full crew to have some fellowship this morning and talk about things. And Brother Josh, good morning.
Good morning.
And Paul, up there in the Great White North, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Brother Zach as well, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And Jason, down in the sunny, warm state of Colorado, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you, whether you're up there in Washington State or down in Florida or wherever you may be. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open in just a little bit. If you have a question or comment, we'll do our best to take that. But as usual, and as we do our best to encourage you, we're going to start out with a word of prayer. We hope that that's on your mind as well when you start something. And Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Yep. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be here, and we thank you for this year. We know it's just the calendar year of 2022 that's coming to an end in the beginning of 2023. And we know that it's not your calendar, but it's a day that man has set up. But Lord, we do thank you for it, and we thank you for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us and that you've given us in the last year. And we look at the blessings that have come from you and your throne. And Father, we give you thanks and we praise you for that. And we ask that as we enter this 2023 calendar year, Father, that you just continue to shine your blessings down upon the Remnant, Father. Let us grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom, and in of you, Father. Let us draw closer to you. And I pray, Father, that as it is just a day that man set up, I pray that people take a challenge and that they make up their minds to do things different, to do things better, to be better stewards of what has been given them, to be better husbands, to be better wives, to be draw closer to you, to be better Christians, to be better friends. Lord, I pray, Father, for your people across this land, and I pray, Father, that you just allow the remnant to rise higher and higher and bring our enemies down lower and lower. Lord, I pray, Father, that you war with those that war against us, that you fight with those that fight to see your name blotted out. I pray, Father, that you just do a mighty and awesome work in the year of 2023. And Lord, I thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray, amen.
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 Well, Remnant, it is the last day of the calendar year. And if you have a comment or would like to call in, our phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And we'll be glad to take your call. And, you know, there's a, I guess Paul wrote it there in the New Testament. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead. And and I think that especially this time, you know, of the year, we kind of look back on this last year. Many people do, and a little bit in retrospect, and we can look back a little bit, but we certainly aren't to live in the past. We are to look to our past to see and remember those that have come before us. And learn from that, but not to live there. I think I've shared it before. Growing up, we talked to my dad about the good old days, and he'd say the blank with them. You can keep them. You know, the days we're in are the good old days. They are. They're. As long as it's day, as long as we can work and glorify our Creator, we should do that. But I like how it's put here. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, move forward. And there's a lot tied up in that. Of course, we should have, if we have to have repentance in what's behind us, certainly we need that. But continuing to move forward to further His kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, but especially this time of year with it, people are making resolutions and saying, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and the writer here doesn't say these 20 things I'm going to do. One thing I do, to excel in the Christian life, to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, that's one thing we must do, it's just the opposite. The world says, oh no, you can do 10 things at a time. You can multi-purpose and have all this running in the background and just kind of hit on it every now and then to keep it going. That's not what we read here. Forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward, to the good things that the Lord has in store for us this next year.
Well, you can't change the past. It's already done. Paul puts it perfectly there. The only thing you can do is look towards the future and make sure that your actions are helpful to ushering in the kingdom. That's the only thing that you can do. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's got something that they did last year that they aren't too thrilled about. But, it's done and it's gone already. And the only thing that we can do is choose to do the right actions in order to make things in the future to be easier and more prosperous and more glorifying towards God. And, you know, one of those ways is, you know, we got to uphold the word. And if we don't uphold the word, then it's all for nothing. It's, you know, our children don't have any future. Their children don't have any future. So we actually got a lot riding on our shoulders, you know. And yeah, the world, you know, they always say they want to do a New Year's resolution. And, you know, I'm not really big on them, but I mean, I do try to make things in my life better every day when I wake up. It's not, you know, just because it's a new year. I do a lot of changes. And some of them are the right move. Some of them are the wrong move, you know? But either way, that is our job as Christians, as the body. And we need to be paying attention to the head, which is Jesus Christ, which is the word. And if we don't uphold that word, then, you know, we're not going to have a very good future for the generations to come. And that's what I kind of live by. That's what I stand on. And I don't know what anybody else is doing. I can only pay attention to what I'm doing. But, yeah, the past is gone. It's done. It's gone. And we need to set the tone and have our actions to direct the future to go in a godly manner. That's what our job is as the body.
Well, that's, you know, exactly what I was thinking about this morning. Let the past be the past. The blood of Christ is sufficient to cover the multitude's sins, to forgive us. And a lot of times we have a hard time letting go of those mistakes and those sins, and kind of, you know, in a way, using as a crutch. You know, I can't do this because I did that. We let that sin of yesterday hold us back instead of truly casting it to the foot of the cross and asking for forgiveness and starting today over as a new day, because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. We don't want to sin. We should spend our lives running from sin, not do it. But it is a part of life, and we got to deal with that. And that is why the sacrifice was made for us, was so that we could still prosper, that we could have that forgiveness. And that is a 100% whole forgiveness. We need to do that for ourselves, not just carry around a lot of this stuff from yesterday, because it's heavy and we can't take it. We can't carry that. That's why Christ made the sacrifice, or one of the reasons why Christ made the sacrifice he did for us, is because we can't carry the burden of our sin by ourselves.
Amen to that. I, looking into this, I saw a phrase that I really had never heard before, but it was, I'm not sure who put it together, but he talked about needing a holy amnesia of, in a way, of not only our failures in our past, but sometimes our victories as well, just so we don't get too high-minded. You know, and let our past victories, you know, think that we've got it whipped. I like how you put that, Josh, that, yeah, we do. We need to not dwell on our past. You know, we need to dwell on the forgiveness that our Lord and Savior, that he provides for us, and continues to provide for us, as we continue to say, here I am, Lord, you know, use me. And, you know, if he needs you as a rocket scientist, he may need to teach you rocket science before he can use you. And I just say that as an example. But, you know, sometimes we have to go through experiences. Sometimes we have to face heartache so that we can grow closer to God. Sometimes we have to face things that are not pleasant, so that our faith can be increased. You know, we get disappointment at times, so that we learn And then at times it's not all about us. You know, we go through those things and we think that it's all about us, and we try to see, you know, what is it, Lord, you're teaching me and all that. But sometimes it's our interactions with others that was the example, and it was the example for others that we just don't realize at times. But yeah, we forget what we are to forget what lies behind and move forward.
Speaking of New Year's resolutions, I'm not very fond of them myself.
Hey, Brother Josh, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you got a big echo in your mic. I don't know if Jason's there, if he can adjust something, or but it's a pretty big echo coming through.
Still there?
Didn't hear it then. Great.
I'm not a big fan of the New Year's resolutions either, because most of the time they don't stick. And you know, when you make a commitment or a decision to do something different moving forward, most of the time you've got to make a change in you, inside of you, or else whatever this outside change is that you're trying to make isn't going to stick. You got to change yourself inside, and then you can change your actions. But what we think and what we believe is what drives what we do.
Amen. A heart matter first. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And, looking through some of the news headlines, it is absolute wintertime, that's for sure. It's cold and snowy out here, and I don't know, folks, if you've seen the pictures coming out of Buffalo, New York, but it's like a good old-fashioned winter, it seems like, out there. Snow up to roof eaves and drifts higher than that. And I saw one picture of lake effect snow, and you couldn't even tell there were houses all in a row because of all the huge icicles and, you know, snow and ice and everything frozen on the homes. And it's a little different than I think we've seen in the past. Not attributing that to global warming, but to, God's perfect and infinite cycle of the seasons that he's given us, at least as long as he's given us. And sometimes it's a little more than others. And I think many people forget that, and I think it caught many people unaware when this last round of storms hit.
Yeah, we generally get it about every 10 years, we get a good doozy. I remember about 2012 or 13, I was actually working for a road commission, and I remember that year was just cold. We had well over, I think it was 150, 160 inches of snow where we were at. And, you know, if you're going to live in the Midwest or by the Great Lakes, you need to learn how to deal with massive quantities of snow, because like what you said, Richard, the lake effect. And if you get caught with, you know, you're not ready. I mean, yeah, I guess if it's your first year here, you can probably get caught off guard, but, you know, it was where we were at. I mean, I had snow drifts in front of one of my buildings that were probably 4 foot tall in front of it. It all dumped in and came over top of it. And, I had to dig out, but it wasn't that big a deal. You know, those guys over there in Buffalo, I seen some of those pictures. Now that's kind of a big deal. And I know here where we're at. but still, that being said, you know, you gotta be ready to deal with it. And, you know, you have to, you know, if you don't have a week or two supply of food in your house, then especially if you live in that kind of area or in a hurricane area or in an earthquake area, I mean, you're kind of being irresponsible with taking care of yourself and your own. 'Cause you know, I was listening to a guy on a podcast, and he always talks about being prepared. And he was talking about the storm that was last week, and he's like, you know, they were saying on the news it was a once in a generation storm, and he was going on about it. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking about 2012 and 13 when it was so cold and the winter was so prolonged. I think that year Lake Michigan froze over completely, which was the only time that I can remember in my lifetime that that actually happened. He's like, never before has anything like this happened again. I'm like, yeah, I'm sitting there thinking, listening to him, like, the entire nation was that cold. Where were you then? You know, like, you know,
right.
it just goes to show how quickly people forget, you know. And the only reason why I remember is because I was plowing for the commission that year. If I wasn't, I would have forgot myself. And, you know, just be ready and, you know, just, that's just what it, like, that's just, we as husbands and as men need to be, we need to be ready. If we're not ready, then, you know, I don't think we're really doing our job that well. Just, and I'm talking on the earthly level. If you, you know, geez, you know, like, be ready to take care of this kind of stuff and, you know, be able to handle and make sure your family can get through the, you know, these type of situations and storms.
Amen.
Yeah, like, Zach, I know that, just like what you were saying, people forgetting about it. You know, we've had it in the years past. We've had it where, I mean, it basically shut town down. I mean, I remember grocery stores completely running out of groceries. They couldn't get anything in or out. People could make it to the local grocery store and that's about it. And there was people walking the roads. They couldn't even plow the roads. And we're talking feet of snow that were on the roads. So then when they plowed them, people couldn't get out of their driveways. And, you know, it shut stuff down for 2 or 3 days, 4 days. And like people were digging out of their driveways, digging out of their houses. Power was out. There was, you know, when you get that much snow and it was a big, thick, heavy, wet snow, you got tree branches that are breaking and you got power lines that are out. And then you can't get anywhere and the power company can't get to where they need to get. And I mean, it was a mess and then you end up with the warm weather coming in and the melt off and the floods and everything that comes because of that. And you know, we've had it several times. I mean, I remember when, you know, when we had 30, 40 degree below zero that came in and sustained it. You know, the first day it was interesting because there was a bunch of people missed work. The second day, a bunch more people missed work. And I remember going to work and there was nobody else that me and one other guy were the only people that showed up. And I'm like looking at the forecast and then it's like, it's supposed to be this way for a week. So what is everybody going to do? Just take a week off? I mean, because it's cold out, because they don't want to go out in the cold. And I remember the boss saying, well, they'll get hungry. They'll get hungry and they'll show up. And 3 or 4 days later, a couple more people showed up and people eventually started going back to work, but it just became a way of life. And, growing up on a ranch outside of Laramie, Wyoming, I mean, there was a lot of winters where we couldn't drive out. We had snowmobiles and, we had to, that's what we went to town on. We went to town on snowmobiles and, I mean, I remember going to town and picking up pizzas with, on snowmobiles and, groceries and everything and strapping them down and driving, you know, the 15 miles back home. Yeah, people forget about that stuff real quick.
I bet your pizza was frozen by the time you got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
you can reheat it though.
I remember I was in a stretch. I was up in Quebec and it was -30 and -40. And that's the only time I've been in that kind of cold weather for that amount of time. And I tell you what, when it's that cold, it is cold. I mean, unless if you haven't experienced it, like you don't know, like, man, that is just miserable. That's just miserable bitter wind cold. I mean, I remember another time I was in Nebraska doing power line work, and it was like negative 25 with 20 mile an hour winds. And I don't want to go through that anymore ever again. So, you know, I mean, equipment breaks, and like, it was just, it's miserable, you know? So you got to have your head on straight and, have your stuff prioritized. And, when it gets down to that kind of weather, and it's no joke. I read an article about a girl in New York, you know, she was trying to get home for the holidays, and they ended up finding her in her car, and they figured she died from carbon monoxide poisoning because the snow blew her in, you know? So, you know, you got to be on your A game, you know? You have, like, as much as you might not want to, and if you're in that kind of situation, you might have to get out and leave your stuff because, you know, it wasn't the temperature that killed that girl. It was the fumes from her car. And, you know, you got to know. You have to know what's up and be ready.
Yeah, and Zach, and that's one of the things that I was going to say, too. And, I mean, this is just for free, as Dad used to say. But, I spent quite a bit of time in Nebraska and Alaska. And, I remember being taught that, you know, if you get stuck in your car, you got to make sure that you get out periodically and move the snow away from your exhaust pipe so that it is not just being funneled back underneath the car, because as the snow comes down, it seals it off and that exhaust goes underneath the car and comes back up. And then they taught you to crack a window and, you know, make sure that you were, getting the exhaust away from the vehicle and making sure you were getting some oxygen in. And that is, that was stuff that used to be taught, but people are not taught that anymore. They're not prepared, because of a lack of training.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Jason, I got to tell you, growing up in Florida, I was not taught that, you know, because it didn't apply. But, you know, we sure had our hurricane preparations and a little generator, and, you know, when you saw that there was a storm coming, you, like you said, Zach, you prepared, or you were caught without. And yeah, we grew up being taught to prepare. You had some water, you had some food, you had fuel. You know, if a storm was coming, you went and you didn't wait until it hit to go down and fuel up. You know, you had to do that before. And yeah, these common sense things aren't taught anymore, any more than the common sense of the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't taught anymore, like it used to be in the schools and in the churches and in the homes. And we see the result of that as well, just like we see the result, you know, you hate to think of a young lady, you know, dying out there on her way home to family and friends. But like that story that you gave, Zach, it happens. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. This is Floyd here. I have relocated. I was from South Dakota. Family situations, brother and dad died, and brother last fall, and my dad and I, 4 years ago. Well, that's why I was staying at the house there in South Dakota. But now it's a kind of a stagnant farm, malfunctional, and mom's kind of there by herself with others checking on her. But my memories of living winters in South Dakota, we would make sure we got number two and the number two fuel barrel for the tractor. We would make sure that all of the cords were rolled up in a way to plug in the tractors where the cold won't hurt them and they're good, you know, and functional to plug in the tractors. And on the winters, I also remember this, though. The winters that are the coldest are not the winters where you're likely to have the heaviest snow or even be out of power for a while. It's like they don't happen at the same time. But on the coldest winters, We would also make sure that we got our wood pile stacked up and know where it's at, because we wouldn't see the snow when we got snowed in that deep. But we could dig ourselves out of the door. Yes, we had to dig ourselves out of the front door. We had a scoop shovel inside the porch to dig ourselves outside of the front door and scoop our way to the wood pile and eventually to a tractor to make sure it starts to feed the cows and move about our day. But in the warmer winters, we were out of power for 2 weeks when we had an ice storm. An ice storm will take out the power line. And that was pretty interesting. And we didn't have a whole house generator, but we had a light generator where we would run it for a couple hours in the evening to make sure our refrigerator and freezer, you know, didn't spoil food. But for the larger part of the day, we had no power. Didn't have running water all day long because you needed power for the darn... but we survived. We know how to deal with it, you know, and we know how to have our coats prepared and patch them up before winter hits if they got holes in them. Because we're survivors, you know, and I don't know if that's taught so much anymore, you know.
Yeah, Floyd, it's not. It's just not, and it's evident with some of the results that have come out of this. You don't hear a lot of. I did hear one survival story. I wasn't sure where it was, but I think a man broke into a school and brought a couple dozen people in to get out of the bad weather. Seen the details on that, but I saw a headline on it, and Jason's mentioned in the past we've read the book The Blizzard of 49. It's not a book we carry, but it's a great book that tells of that, of the Great Blizzard of 49, and it's similar to what we've seen happen up, you know, through the Midwest this last week.
My brother in the 70s, he lost a herd of sheep because they went to sleep at night, but there was a storm that night on the side of the hill, and that heavy blizzard snowed them in, and they cuddled up and froze to death.
Yeah, we've seen several flyers and advertisements of people that have lost herds of cattle in Nebraska, and we haven't
had a cow froze, but we did lose a herd of sheep one year, and he never restored that herd of sheep.
Yeah.
he went and got a few, but he never restored. It was like 50 head of sheep.
Sure. Well, Floyd,
all right, I'll let it go.
Appreciate that. And you said you got moved. Make sure we get your new address.
I moved out with my daughter on the Puget Sound out in Washington State.
Okay. Well, so get us your new address, brother. Good talking to you.
Yeah, I will here eventually. I'll probably order some more stuff from you, but I got to score an employer right now.
Sure. All right, Floyd. God bless, brother. And guys, the phone lines are still ringing. Let's take this next line. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, we don't have any snow up here in Wisconsin. Last few winters up here have been kind of like Kansas winters. Get a lot of freezing rain, and then when it's supposed to be spring, we don't have spring. You know, when the tulips and daffodils are supposed to be up in March. But I remember when I was growing up, and I did the same thing. When it got real cold, well, you either went out and started your car at night to make sure it started, or you took the battery out of it and brought it in the house where it's warm.
Right.
And then when you put it in, it would start. Well, when I was on active duty and put it right on Kansas, I did that with my juice in the app, you know, and the Army doesn't have too good of batteries anyhow, and the guys thought I was nuts putting it in the motor pool, but mine was one of the older ones that was starting. You know, you didn't have glow ports and stuff on them, and pretty soon everybody was sticking the batteries out and bringing them in. And yeah, I remember taken away or started to come. My daughter was born back in 1977. The winter was so cold. In the morning winter, when she was about 2 years old, we had so much snow that the neighbor children were climbing up on a roof from the snow pile. And it shows that Buffalo, New York has that snow always. So if anybody listening, you know, to tell them that if they have to take their batteries out of their car, because when it gets cold, you lose 90% of your battery power. And I wonder how that's going to work with these electric cars.
Yeah, they and there's stories of these electric cars coming out of them having problems, you know, with this. And so, yeah, that's going to be a whole new, I think, a whole new chapter in the push for those.
I mean, it's like when you're if you have to have jump start somebody's car, make sure that battery's not frozen because they will explode, you know. So that's kind of a caution. I'd like to put out your crew heading on to that. Well, God bless you guys.
All right, Warren. Thanks. God bless and Happy New Year, brother.
You know, I'm sitting there thinking, and those last two callers, they're telling their stories about how they would survive the tough weather, the cold weather. And, you know, those guys, they knew what they had to do in order to get through whatever was coming at them. And like Jason was talking about when he was up in Alaska, and how they would teach people if they got stuck in a snowbank to, you know, clear away from the exhaust pipe and crack the window, is because they knew the dangers. The unseen dangers, you know, and they would teach that to their loved ones because they didn't want them to be a victim of the circumstance. And it is exactly the same way because of people not knowing their Bibles and what they think what the Bible says and what they think the will of the Lord is, what they think Jesus thinks is what is going to cost them. And we can sit there and we can look across this land because we know we're educated in the Bible from Genesis 1 all the way down to Revelations. Is we know what our Lord and Savior thinks. So like when we read the law and we know the consequences of the violation of the law, we'll be driven from the land. And we like look out there and, you know, in Paul's time, or, you know, when Paul, and I'm referring to Paul that's on the air with us, you know, how many of the families that he grew up with made their living off the land? Now they're not on the land anymore. They're not making their living off the land anymore. Why don't they know that? It's because they don't know the word. They don't know. The people are literally oblivious to the fact that they're being driven from the land. They traded the land for a 401k, and they're oblivious to the fact that God is inflicting punishment on them, and the generations to come are going to be victim to that because they don't know, because they didn't have the proper training. And whether it's surviving a snowstorm in your car or preserving your family's legacy, it's no difference. It's because of lack of proper education. Like those two callers, they knew how to get through, you know. And I would hate to be one of these preachers in the future or at the judgment that promoted this Judeo-Christianity. I mean it's going to be a tough go for them.
Amen to that. Well, you know, Zach, talking about your Bible and reading it and understanding it, folks, we do have a new Bible reading plan out for 2023, and we mailed several hundred of them this last week, and we'll get it up on the website for you as well. And if you'd like it, we've got it all on a just almost a booklet type, real small, one page folded. But it's a chronological plan. It's a little different. We had some people ask. It's been several years, many years, since we've put a chronological plan out. But it is supposedly in the order that the Bible story happened. And so, again, we'd be glad to send that to you. And if you'd like, certainly no charge, but just contact us and we'll do that. And of course, you know, the first 3 days of January, it's reading about three chapters a day. January 1, Genesis 1 through 3, January 2, Genesis 4 through 7, and the 3rd, Genesis 8 through 11. And then it steps into Job, and you read Job, and then you come back to Genesis, and then kind of continue in order for a few books. And so I'm looking forward to it. So we do. We encourage you, as always, to read the Word, just like Zach said. If you, you know, sometimes we hear something or we think we read something back 27 years ago, or, you know, we've just gone on what grandma or grandpa told us and, or what that preacher told you. And, you know, they can point you, but it's up to you, to read this Word, to understand this Word, and to apply this Word to your life. You won't have that preacher or that person or grandpa or grandma standing with you there on Judgment Day. It'll just be you and the Lord. And you want to have an understanding when that time comes, or before that time comes. And so one way to do that, read your Bible. We're giving you another plan, another opportunity, and doing our best to encourage you to do that very thing. So, if you supported us in the month of December, we've sent a plan out to you. We did that along with a thank you postcard for December, but we'd be glad to send it to you if you want more. And sent about 30 out to one brother because he had a couple dozen to pass out, and just sent another half dozen to up to Wisconsin yesterday. So you let us know if you want this Bible reading plan, and we'll sure do our best to get it to you.
You know, Zach, along with that knowledge, it's also important if we have that relationship with God that you know, every day we're seeking His will for our life. And Jason and I were having a conversation with a fellow earlier in the week and talking about just different things in life that had happened, and prayer and answered prayer and hearing from God. And, you know, that's something that I don't guess necessarily have to build, but in my life it's been something that has been a gradual thing of me learning to give things to God and wait on Him, and then be able to hear whenever He answers. Because, you know, a lot of times it's an answer that you don't want to hear. And so it's kind of hard to hear that. And other times He just speaks to you in what's happening around you, and he gives you these signs where you know that, that it's Him talking to you. But you got to be looking for that. And from what I've seen, that's something that you grow. It doesn't just come overnight. And whenever those storms come, we want to make sure that we've already got that preparation made, that we've got a relationship with God, and that whenever He talks to us, that we're able to hear Him.
Yeah,
I agree, Josh. I mean, and that's one of the things that, you know, it's, you know, prayer and answered prayer. I mean, that was a good conversation. We've had that conversation several times here recently with different people. And, you know, sometimes it's always good to be talking on God, you know, talking on God, bragging on God, talking about the answered prayers. We were talking about some of the unanswered prayers that, we didn't get because we were out of order or we weren't thinking right.
Yep. But it, you know, even through that, when you can see that grows you, and
you're growing.
You can continue to try to do better today than you did yesterday. Because we get that new beginning every day, and God grants us that daily bread. It's sufficient. We just got to keep working at it, keep pushing.
Yeah, exactly. I saw this week in the news too that Zelensky, that Ukrainian president, or actor, or whatever you want to call him. Anyway, they started pushing. One of the headlines was Zelensky gives his government the powers to restrict media, block websites, and orders big tech to censor. On Thursday, Ukrainian President Zelensky signed off on the controversial bill that substantially increases the government's regulatory authority over the news media. The new law will give the government new censorship powers, and is a fresh blow to the press of freedoms in that country. The legislation significantly increases the powers of Ukraine's state broadcasting regulatory to allow it to regulate both the print and online news media. Further, it allows for fines to be imposed on media outlets. And I mean, just, you know, talks about more and more censorship. I mean, they talk about it in, you know, overseas, and we're seeing this in Ukraine, but I mean, it's something that's taking place here in the United States. I mean, it's, you know, it's, information is a weapon of warfare, and they are constantly fighting, trying to, you know, stop people from their messages getting out. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that, I do like what Musk is doing with Twitter, and basically, trying to restore freedom and the stuff that he's putting out and the stuff that he's exposing with, you know, all these FBI agents and you know, versus Hunter Biden's laptop computer and the censorship that's been taking place and how they were working and how much money has been spent on censorship and keeping people from not being able to tell the truth.
You know, it worked for President Lincoln and his group in the war between the states. And that was 150 years ago. Why wouldn't it work today? And it does. It works very well today for the enemy. You know, if you know your history, if you go back and read Lincoln and his administration, they would throw, I mean, the Constitution was out the window. They would throw people in jail for printing, you know, anything that was contrary to the Union side of how they wanted it. The war between the states to be portrayed, and it has continued. And you know, the New Day, same stuff. They continue to do it today. It is interesting how there are a few people, like you mentioned, Jason, that are able to get around some of that and get some truths out. And, but yeah, you do have to be careful what you see in the mainstream. You know, our Congress was, gave this, sweatshirt wearing Bill Murray. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Zelensky was a comedian in the Ukraine until the Obama and Clinton administration, financed a coup to get rid of the pro-Russian president and put Zelensky, this comedian, in as president. It would be like if they put Bill Murray in as president here in the country. Okay. You know, or any, but literally a comedian, and that's what he was. But why not? I mean, we have actors as governors and idiots as president. So, maybe it's more like what we have here than we know.
Well, you sit there and we're talking about Ukraine and they're taking away the freedom of speech or whatever, and they're taking away the truth. You know, when you believe a lie, you are taken captive in your own head. Because if you'd known the truth on whatever topic it'd be, then you would take a different position. So, you know, like what we were talking about there, like what we were just talking about with Lincoln and the Civil War and the Union, you know, they wanted a certain point of view portrayed out, and it wasn't necessarily true. It wasn't true. And people took the position, the wrong position, the same way with you know, World War II and, you know, the Vietnam War, like even in my lifetime. I remember sitting there watching when Bush wanted to invade Iraq. You know, they had these little cylinders with weapons of mass destruction. And, you know, the entire nation's like, let's go get them. You know, I was even in on that. Let's go get them. And, you know, and it was all based on lie. But had the nation known the truth, then they wouldn't have wanted to go in. You know, but, you know, you sway their opinion and you make them take a position, lead them into sin. They're taken captive and they'll do whatever you want. They be, you know, people become slaves because of false knowledge. And you can say that about the Judeo-Christian church, you know, and it just tell the truth. That's just what you got to do is just tell the truth. And, you know, that way people's blood aren't on our hands.
Amen.
And sometimes it is hard to tell the truth. Especially that's not when whoever you're talking to, that's not what they want to hear. But you owe it to yourself and you owe it to them. Now you might want to temper your words and make sure that you're coming across out of love and concern for this person, not just trying to beat their head up against the wall because they're wrong. But it's not always easy to tell the truth, but it's what we're supposed to do, and it's what's best for you in the long run, for sure.
Amen. Yeah, and those, like you mentioned, Zach, those Judeo-Christians that are caught in that lie, so many of them are these New Testament Christians that, you know, have no idea of the Old Testament. They have no idea of the words of Hosea that said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." They just don't know. They don't see that so much in the New Testament, you know, quotes the Old Testament. We see that. Christ himself, half of what he taught was quoting the Old Testament. And it just doesn't compute. It doesn't compute. And like you mentioned earlier about believing a lie, if you won't believe the truth, if you won't have, what does the word say? If you don't have a love for the truth, who sends a deluding spirit on you? Who is it that sends that lie to you? And it's
God does.
God does. That's right. It's God does. And that's the loving, Jesus. That's who does. If you won't believe his truth, he'll send you a lie that you can believe that. And then it's like, see how that works out for you. And it doesn't work out well. It never has. But it's the repeating story, the recurring story for his stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed, obstinate people. You know, you can say it takes one to know one. And I think we all, you know, we all can say, yep, it does. But like we read, you know, we come out of that. Yeah, we were all that way, but we've done our best to come out of that, to be washed, to be cleansed, repented, and changed. And I wrote down, I think you said it, Josh, I wrote it down that, you got to make the change inside first. I like that. I wrote that down. Because it is. It's what we think. Like you said, what we think and what we believe, that drives what we do. And if you're believing a lie, that's going to drive you down the wrong path. That's going to drive you to that place that the bridge is out, and it's death and destruction. And as opposed to believing this truth of this word that doesn't change. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you all so much for joining us on this last day of 2022, and we sure pray God's blessings on each and every one of you and on you, the remnant. We thank you for joining us, and we invite you to church tomorrow. We're planning, we've got a live service coming up tomorrow. That's the plan, as long as the snow doesn't close the roads. So we invite you to join us at scripturesforamerica.org, and you can click on that on your computer, click on the live stream, and we'll be there in the morning, good Lord willing. And so we hope you can join us. God bless, and we'll see you then.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it, though they're dead.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.